Welcome to MSP Soundbites. My name is Rob Sowden, the author for the 2007 version. And in this section, I want to talk to you about the organisational section of the manual. MSP in itself is big about the difference between leadership and management. Leadership is seen as a function for all the people in the organisational structure, and it's really much more about setting out the direction of the programme, seeking to influence them, seeking to get their support and commitment to the journey we're on. As opposed to management, which is more about how and when things are going to be done, doing things speedily, efficiently, and to a certain level of quality. The reason why it's important to a programme is if there's too much focus, you can have a focus on management, there may be a lack of focus on leadership. And where you're delivering organisational change, the focus needs to be on leadership. So too much management in a programme will lead to a very efficiently delivered failure, whereas too much leadership, you could find your programme running out of control because everybody's talking about the future and nobody's actually getting on with the hardcore business of delivery. It's worth just observing that you might find this in the stakeholder chapter. It's quite a useful image that comes from Cranfield that talks about different perceptions of program management. And there is no one size that fits all for program managers. You may, and it's perfectly normal for a program manager that sets a program up not to be there during delivery, because the skills that you need to take a concept, shape it and design it are not necessarily the same skills that you need to be hardcore focused on delivery metrics and effectiveness. So take a look at the image that comes from Cranfield called Perceptions of Program Management that you find in the stakeholder chapter. In any program, there's three levels of control. We've got the top level called the sponsoring group. This is normally a subset of the leadership board of that organisation. We then have the middle tier, which is the program management layer, which is where you find the business change managers and the program managers, and any other subject matter experts. And then we've got the third tier, which is your project level. So it's important to have in your mind that there's these three tiers, because a lot of the stuff in the manual is actually about the interface between the three tiers. The sponsoring group set the tone and direction for the program, but probably their most important function is to nominate or anoint or appoint the senior responsible owner. Now, the senior responsible owner is a critical individual. They are solely accountable for the delivery of the program. The reason their role has come about is that historically people found that where program failures occurred, it was very difficult to attribute responsibility for that failure. Hence, the Office of Government Commerce developed this term called senior responsible owner. That's basically where the blame's going to land, but also hopefully where the recognition of success will land as well, if the thing's successful. Within the manual, you'll see the use of the term RACI. Responsible, accountable, consulted and informed. You will find in most situations that the SRO is accountable for pretty much everything that goes on. So they're not expected to do it, but they're expected to know about it. And if you look in the governance strategies, the SRO should be noted in there as being accountable for any of those strategies. And the key role for them is to be comfortable that the program processes and controls will be sufficient for them to know when things are going right or wrong. Another key role is the business change manager. Business change manager is a role that's emerged through the previous versions of MSP to the point now where they are a critical individual. They always were a critical individual, but probably didn't get the press they needed in the manual for people to recognise it. It's important to remember that a business change manager is not a middle or junior manager. The business change manager is there to deliver the changes that the programme is planning to facilitate. So you'd expect them to be quite senior. Doesn't mean say they have to do all the work. They can be supported by the change team, and it'd be perfectly acceptable to call them something else. In the manual, it refers to the concept of business change authority, which was in a public sector organisation where there were some heads and service directors who basically weren't engaging with the title business change manager, because in truth it was reflecting a role quite significantly below them. So in local government, where we're working quite a lot, we will see quite often service directors or business change managers. Their role is to develop the benefits and manage the business change. On the mirror image of that is the programme manager. The programme manager is about setting up the programme, putting the governance controls in place, and delivering making sure the projects are effectively delivered. The programme is all about delivering step changes in capability, and that's what the programme manager delivers. The business change manager defines what the business requires, and then once the capability is delivered, turns that into benefits and dividend for the organisation. Business change manager in particular is a difficult role, because in some contexts, they have to understand and have a reasonable competence of what the programme manager is being faced with, whilst when they're not in the programme environment, but in their business environment, they're basically selling the programme to the operation. Okay, so you would expect to have more than one business change manager. Basically, for each major area of the organisation that's affected, they'd have a business change manager. Supporting these, you've got the programme office, and of course there's a lot of work since this version of the book came out on the concept of the portfolio office, which you'll find a lot more in a publication called P3O by a friend of ours called Sue Vowler. And so really, the programme office in MSP as it stands, it's important to remember the programme office supports this programme. It's not a portfolio office, so it's largely providing an admin support function, or a process support, not necessarily admin. Other people that you might pull into a programme, MSP specifically mentions procurement expertise, risk management, design authority is an interesting one. Design authority can be anybody you need who is an expert in a field. So you might have a technical design authority, you might have an estates design authority, or anything that you might actually have in your organisation. It could be around some sort of production process, but anybody, an expert that the organisation has that needs to be consulted as part of that can be brought into the programme as a design authority. And finally, the other roles, you can have programme accountant is another alternative role, somebody to count the money. And finally, this concept of the benefits realisation manager. That's an expert that takes a view on benefits within the programme, and maybe benefits across a portfolio of programmes, making sure that best practice is being followed and that there's no double counting. That's pretty much the main structure. Those additional roles could sit on the programme board. One area that we've seen people rolling out MSP, there is always a danger that the programme boards become too bloated, and it's not uncommon to see the programme boards getting padded with stakeholders because people think you need to involve them. It's important to remember that the programme board is around decision making. It sets the pace and the energy for the programme. The programme board itself doesn't have a lot of responsibilities. It's there to reconcile conflict and issues between the business change managers and the programme managers. Now, if you actually read around the rest of the manual as it stands, at the end of each of the theme chapters, quite often the programme board has picked up some responsibilities. These are probably more confusing than helpful. For you learning it, try to remember the business change manager, program manager, and the SRO, that triangle of individuals, are the main ones with responsibilities. And the SRO has mainly got accountabilities. You'll find that the program office through the manual is largely consulted and informed because they get on with the day, they do all the hard work. The other individuals that can end up on a program board are a project exec, from various project boards, because the project exec is accountable on the project and they may well be expected to attend the programme boards to explain their progress, justify changes, or maybe argue the case for some extra tolerance, budget, whatever it might be. Okay, so be careful not to grow the programme board too big, but it is definitely a forum which sets the pace, the direction, and reconciles the conflicts that will come on during the life cycle. In terms of management information, there's really only one document, which is the organisation design document. And that document's where you capture all the roles and responsibilities of the individuals. So as you're appointing them, that people understand what they're up to. If you're creating one of those, try not to make it too generic. You need to apply it to your manual, to your organisation. So I hope that's coming useful. That summarises the key elements of the organisational chapter in the manual. Hope you find that useful, and listen to a few of the other briefings. Thanks very much for your time.